जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, मुना तेरा बन जारे। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol. Jai Jai Prabhupad, 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 Prabhupad. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudiraye nashta praesha bhadreshu nityam bhagavat sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Reading from the 11th canto, chapter 24, text number 15. Maya kalatmana dhatra कर्मयुक्तम् इदम् जगत् गुणप्रवाह एतस्मिन् उन्मज्जति निमज्जति। मया कालात्मना धात्रा कर्मयुक्तम् इदम् जगत् गुणप्रवाह एतस्मिन् उन्मज्जति निमज्जति। मया कालात्मना धात्रा कर्मयुक्तम् इदम् जगत् गुणप्रवाह एतस्मिन् उन्मज्जति निमज्जति। माताजी माया बाय मी काल आत्मना who contains the energy of time, Dhatra, the creator, Karma Yuktam, full of fruit of activities, Idam, this, Jagat, world, Guna Pravahi, in the mighty current of the modes, Etasmin, in this, Unmajjati, one rises up, Nimajjati, one drowns. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. All results of fruitive work are arranged within this world by me, the Supreme Creator, acting as a force of time. Thus, one sometimes rises up towards the surface of this mighty river of the modes of nature, and sometimes again submerges. Purport. Unmajjati reverse refers to one's promotion to the higher planetary systems, as mentioned in previous verses, and Nimajjati refers to being submerged in a miserable condition of life by impious activities. In both cases, one is drowning within the mighty river of material existence, which carries one far away from one's real home in the kingdom of God. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Swapadantigam Vandeham Shri Guraho Shri Udapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunadhanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanatamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta राधाकांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी कृष्ण भानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So all results of fruitive work have been arranged within this world by me, the Supreme Creator acting as the force of time. Thus one sometimes rises up towards the surface of this mighty river of the modes of nature and sometimes again submerges. So the fruitive work of the living entities has been delineated in the Vedas in the form of Purva Mimams, known as Karma Kanda, which constitutes 95% of Vedic knowledge. The means to attain one's material desires, and there are different shlokas for different folks. Whatever your desire may be, the desire for a son, desire for a good life partner, desire for ascension to heaven. So the Vedas are like the super mall. If you want something, shopping people go for to a super mall. All different stores are available in a mall. You want to purchase a mobile phone, you want to purchase suit, salwar, kameez, dhoti, kurta, whatever you want for the family, everything is available in a super mall. So just like that, the Vedas are like a super mall where the Lord Himself has given the means, the proper dharma that has to be followed in order to fulfill your material desires. When we say material, we mean in one sense selfish. There is still selfishness involved. And here it is explained that all results of the fruitive work by following the Karma Kanda, one is able to ascend to the higher planets, the heavens. Yes, and the Supreme Creator, it is said, arranges all this. So thus one sometimes rises up towards the surface of this mighty river, and sometimes he is submerged within this, within the waves of the mighty river. So obviously it is not that everyone performs pious activities all the time. Sins are, people perform sinful activities in their lives, and naturally as a result
sinful reactions accrue, due to which one may be forced by his destiny, by his karma, to glide down to lower forms of existence, maybe animals, plants, etc. This is the arrangement of the Lord. So the Lord has arranged everything. Yes. You know, like the very famous that story of one king who had this question in his mind, that what does the Lord do? Bhagavan karte kya hai? He's got his energies, he's got so many gods to do his work. So what does he personally do? So he had this question which he put across to his subjects, and none of them could give him a befitting reply. And one day one sadhu happens to come there, and very learned, and subjects, his ministers bring him to the king and says, "My dear king, here is a very learned sadhu. Please put this question to this sage." So the sage asks the same question to him again, saying that, "Bhagavan karte kya hai? What does the Lord do?" So the sadhu says, "That is not how you ask a spiritual question. Sadhu santon se is tarike se prashna nahi pucha jata. Come down from your asana. Come down." So the king, very respectfully, he got off his simhasana and made the sadhu sit on his throne, and he sat down. And then the sadhu told the king that, "Now you ask this question again." And then again he asked, "Maharaj, aap bataiye, please say that how can I know that what does the Lord do the whole day?" And then the sadhu replied that this is exactly what he does. Those who are down, he lifts them up and makes them sit on the top. And those who are on the top, he brings them down. This is his daily pastimes. Which means that someone who has become proud, he will be humbled. And those who are humble, the Lord will raise him up. As it is said in the Bible, "The meek and humble shall inherit the kingdom of God." So naturally, this is the arrangement of the Lord. Here it is explained. "It has been arranged within this world by me," this Krishna speaking, this Sankhya philosophy. And he does it through the agency of time. But we have to understand that the Lord also explains that he is not responsible for the sufferings or enjoyment of the living entities. He is just the creator of this instrument known as karma. But depending upon how you use this instrument, you will be benefited or you will be otherwise. Like for you have a knife. You can use the knife for conducting an operation, or you could use it for killing somebody. You cannot blame the manufacturer of the knife, or you cannot blame the knife itself. So therefore Krishna says very clearly that don't blame me for your sufferings. Namam karmani limpanti, name karma phale spriha. Because generally, practically every conditioned soul in this world ends up criticizing the Lord at some point or another. Everyone, more or less. Is there anyone here who has never criticized the Lord? Ever? Or that thought has come that why the Lord is doing this to me? Yes? Is there anyone? How many of you felt that, okay, sometimes I did think that God is responsible for my suffering? Yes? So it is a psychology, you see, of every conditioned soul, that he tends to put the blame on the Supreme Lord. But the Lord is clearly saying, the arrangement has been made by me, but I am not responsible. Just as under the President's rule or the Prime Minister's rule, the Justice Department has been set up in order to award punishment to the criminals or to award honor to those who are doing great service for the country. However, if a criminal has been sentenced to a punishment, he cannot blame the President or the Prime Minister for his situation. You cannot blame the judge for his situation. In fact, that will make matters even worse. In fact, he can, you know, claim clemency. He can write a mercy petition to the Prime Minister or the President. There is a provision in the Indian Constitution for that. So just like that, you know, it is a neutral instrument. How you use the instrument of karma, which has been given to us. Like somebody was saying one incident which had happened. Everyone makes mistakes, is it not? It's natural. There was a doctor who was training his students how to conduct an operation. So there was an open heart surgery taking place. And he was showing the arteries to his assistant doctors, students like that. So the doctors have an instrument, a cutting blade, what do you call that? Scalpel or something like that. It is blunt on one side and it's a sharp on the other side. So he was using the scalpel in order to raise the important arteries of the heart to show that this is this artery, this is that artery, like that. And accidentally, the blade turned towards the sharper side and the major artery got slit, blood flowed out in front of everyone there. And within a matter of few seconds, the patient was gone. Now, you cannot blame the knife for it, is it not? You have to be very careful. Knife is sharp, you have to be very careful. So also, karma, and everyone makes mistakes, okay, these are one-time episodes, there's no need to doubt doctors. You know, doctors are glorious, they're doing their job very nicely. Everyone makes mistakes, engineers, they make mistakes, and they, you know, bridges fall down, buildings fall down, people die. So in every profession, there is like risk involved. You go on a plane, your plane meets with a, you know, accident and something happens, people die, buses meet with accidents, but there's no reason to doubt doctors. Doctors are good, engineers are good, okay. That's how life goes on. But the point that is to be made is that just as a knife is neutral, so also karma is neutral, depends on what actions we choose, which will decide whether we are up and we are down. But we see that, let's say when someone dies, people say, "Arey, wo swargvasi ho gaya." Kaise pata aapko swargvasi ho gaya? Who knows, he may be in hell. Because in life, so many things are happening. Is it not? Jaise ki there was one Moni Baba, who had never spoken anything in his life. For 70, 80 years, he never spoke anything. Finally, when he was about to die, he was going to open his mouth and say something. All his disciples and thousands of people collected around him and waiting to hear what he had to say. And then when he said what he spoke, kammo ka khyal rakhna. So we say swargvasi ho gaya, ye ho gaya, wo ho gaya. Ultimately, what's going on in the mind, what's going on in one's personal life, who knows? Is it not? So everyone does some sinful activities at some point of time, and therefore he rises up, comes down, and is moving on. So the question is that karma never leaves a person. It follows. That's why there is a popular verse amongst many people which says that avashyam kritam bhoktavyam kritam karma shubhashubham na bhoktam shyete karma kalpakoti shatayarapi. Avashyam krita bhoktavyam ki avashya, certainly you will have to face the reactions of your actions. Avashya krita bhoktavyam krita karma shubha shubham, whether it is shubh or ashubh. Na bhoktam shiyate karma, if you have not experienced the reaction, then that karma will wait for you. Na shiyate, it will never be terminated. You think that theek hai thoda samay ke baad wo khatam ho jayega, you wait for it. No. Na bhoktam shiyate karma kalpa koti shatairapi, even after the passage of many kalpas, how many kalpas? Koti shatairapi, millions and millions of years also, in fact eternally, the karma will wait for you till you have experienced the karma. So that means the karma is destroyed only by experiencing its reaction. That means liberation is not possible till one is finished with karma. Krishna says that very clearly. That teshaam antagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam, that till your sins have not been destroyed, not just sins, but till your even piety is not destroyed, you cannot attain me. And therefore a person suffers and enjoys in this world. But ultimately everyone has to go through this. Some great, some less. But everyone. Karma follows. Just like if someone is a simple man, if he dies, four people will carry him to the crematorium. Okay, he's a little famous. Chalo, not four, 40 people will follow him to the crematorium. Okay, he's very famous. Maybe 400 people or maybe 4,000 people will follow him to the crematorium. But still, what goes with him? Only his karma. His karma only he will take with him. Irrespective of how famous he is, how much he has attained. Isiliye bolte hain na, Hindi mein kehte hain. Ke tumhari patni aayegi ghar ke chaukhat tak. Rishtedar aayenge shamshan ghat tak. Tumhara putra aayega chita tak. Tumhare karma jayenge bhagwan tak. So therefore, here the laws of karma, which is very important, devotees many times may, overlook this aspect because we are into Krishna consciousness and things like that. But have we really done with our karma? That is the question. Sometimes we may say, matter doesn't matter, mind never mind. But eventually you realize that mind does mind actually, matter matters. These are important things we have to understand. And unless we do not learn how to deal with these reversals in life, we cannot really appreciate Krishna consciousness. These are all aspects of the material creation. So we can see so many examples of highs and lows. Rodpati se karodpati in a moment, and karodpati se rodpati also in a moment. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there are episodes of cases like Indra. We see that how when the Brahmins approached him for killing Vritrasur, they wanted him to do that service. And Indra said, if I kill, I've already killed one Brahmin previously. His name was Vishwarup. And I got a severe reaction because of that. I had to suffer. Now what will happen if I again conduct Brahmahatya? Because Vritrasura is also a Brahmin. So the Brahmin said, never mind. You do it selflessly as a service. And then we will perform Ashwamedh Yajna. We will worship Lord Narayan. And by the grace of Narayan, one can be freed from any kind of sin. The sin of even killing a cow or a Brahmin or mother or father. The grave sins also can be. Namnohi. What is that verse? That Ek Krishna Nam Jata Papa Hare Papi Hoy Jata Papa Karibare Nare. That one name of the Lord is sufficient to destroy unlimited sins. There is no one has that much power to perform so many sins. Such is the power of the holy name. Namno hi yavati shakti papa nirharane hare he tavat kartum na shaknoti patakam pataki naraha. So Indra complied, he said all right, and then he fought with Vritrasura. Vritrasura was killed, but still he saw that the sinful reactions followed him. Because he was not pure in his consciousness. He still wanted to enjoy his position of Indra. And therefore the sinful reactions followed him in the form of an old lady who was suffering from arthritis, and she had a very bad odor coming from her mouth. And she was running behind Indra, and Indra was, in order to escape, was going through all the three worlds. Finally, he entered into a lotus stem in Manas Sarovar Lake, where even Goddess Lakshmi resides. And then she protected him from the reactions. And because of that, Indra was now, relegated to such a lowly position that his post was empty. And then Nahusha, who was very austere, a very learned man, very pious, he was raised to the position of Indra. So here we see, And then what happens? Nahusha becomes proud of his position, and he makes all the Brahmins carry his palanquin. Around 3,000-4,000 Brahmins he had employed to carry his palanquin. And he became so proud that he thought that he can enjoy the wife of Indra. And as a result, in all this course of events, he offended the Rishi Agastya, and Agastya cursed him to become a serpent. And this great, highly educated, learned, austere person known as Nahusha was again brought down to become a serpent. He became a serpent. So therefore, here it is explained that the world goes on up and down and up and down. We are all transmigrating in all these different species. We know the example of Bhishma. Bhishma Pitamaha. When he was standing in front of Shikhandi, and Arjun was sitting behind Shikhandi ready to kill him, that time he was remembering that what he was in his past. He knew that Shikhandi had come with a purpose. It was a result of a curse for the offense which he had performed as the god Dyu. He was a Vasu. Along with the seven brothers, they had offended Vasishtha because they tried to steal his cow. And Vasishtha cursed him that you take birth amongst humans and suffer. All of them fell at the feet of Vasishtha and said, please forgive us, forgive us. So Vasishtha forgave them and said, okay, you all will take birth, one birth, and then you all will be delivered from your sins. However, this man who touched my cow, this Dyuvasu, he will have to suffer for all of you. So therefore, and then this lady who instigated him to steal my cow, his wife, will also be born as a human, and he will be the cause of his death. And therefore Shikhandi, Amba, and these are all reincarnations of Dyuvasu's own wife. And Dyu became Bhishma, and now Bhishma is in front of Shikhandi, who is actually his wife in his past life. And she has become the cause of his death. And he had to live a long life. He lived nearly 8 lifespans of any average human in order to suffer the curse of all the 7 brothers who had committed the offense. So such are the dynamics of karma. Mahabharata we see so many, and we put blame on the Lord many times. Like you see Gandhari. Example of Gandhari is there. That after the war, when all the Kauravas were annihilated, Krishna goes to meet, take blessings of Gandhari. He touched her feet and Gandhari said, "You are God, you knew everything. You could have done something to save my sons. Not one of my sons have been left. All of them dead. Why didn't you protect my son? Therefore I curse you. Just as my family was destroyed, your family also will be destroyed." Gandhari couldn't retain her anger. You see, this is the problem. And we put the blame on the Lord. And there are other examples we see in Ramayana, Mahabharata. Vali, Sugriv. Madhvacharya says that Vali was reincarnated as Arjun, and Sugriv reincarnated as Karna, because Vali was Amsha of Indra, Sugriv was Amsha of Surya. Madhvacharya says roles are exchanged. We see Angad, who performed such great activities and great service for Lord Ram, he became Abhimanyu in Mahabharata. He was killed and that's his role is over. Khatam, no more role. Krishna Leela, not much. Ram Leela, a lot. Then in Lakshman, he performed great service for Lord Ram as a younger brother, 14 years, and always humble position, taking instructions of Lord Ram, menial servant. Krishna Leela, he became elder brother. And from the karmic point of view, he, if you see that, undermined, equalized. Because to take blessings, to take instructions of the Lord is a very high position. From a karmic point of view. And to give instruction to the Lord is not a very good thing. Yes? So therefore, that was balanced. Madhvacharya says there always this balance exists in nature. Material nature is like this. Sometimes up, sometimes down. Like, right, it's ocean waves. And if you know the art then of surfing, then you can somehow cross the ocean, somehow be floating. And if you don't know the art, then instead of surfing, you will suffer. So, irrespective of whether, you know, one should not wait basically for a time when, you know, sufferings will stop. One cannot wait till probably a favorable time will come, then we can practice Krishna consciousness. No. The solution is all about changing one's attitude. As we discussed that there is no way till you experience karma, you cannot be liberated. You cannot become mukt. And the other way of becoming liberated is by taking shelter of the Lord. So therefore, one should not wait till, you know, a favorable time will come. No. Like there was this man who was, you know, trying to bathe in the ocean. He had worn his gamcha and he was trying to go to take a bath. A man was standing on the terrace and seeing him, observing him. He's going ahead, coming behind. Going ahead, coming behind. Going ahead, coming behind. This went on for about 2 hours. This man standing on the terrace was a little impatient. He became, "Kya baat hai? Why is he not entering inside? I'm seeing him in gamcha. Pani mein jai nahi rahe." He became impatient. He came down and he asked, "What happened? What are you waiting for?" So he said, "I'm waiting for the, you know, this turbulence to subside. Then I will go inside. Thoda sa. I don't know swimming, so I'm just waiting. That's never going to happen. It's never going to happen." So also the nature of this material world is up and down and up and down. So therefore it is explained. In all situations, remember, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is that great saint who said, Dukh me simran sab kare, sukh me kare na koi, sukh me simran kare, to dukh kahe ko hoy. So, the solution is that if we can remember the Lord in that, it's a matter of changing of one's attitude. Because it is not material situations which determine whether we are happy. A person who is having nothing can be happy. A person who has everything can be unhappy. Or a person who's got everything also can be happy. Material situations does not count to your satisfaction. And this is even a researched fact actually. Because it is the attitude which determines whether one is happy. You know, the example of a boy in his hostel. He's just taken admission and for the first time his father comes to receive him, just to give him some gifts or some clothes which he has left back home, and he comes with a huge suitcase, and the student sees his father coming at the gates of the hostel. Immediately he runs down, says, welcomes his father, touches his feet, takes the heavy suitcase from his hands, brings him to his hostel room and sits him down, gives him a cup of tea or whatever, you know. But that same boy, when his father is gone and, you know, seniors come to rag him and they say, hey, chal jaake mere room se mera suitcase le gaya, mera bag le gaya. So the bag is not very heavy, but still this person is having a tough time carrying out that order. Is it? So many times when we do things, it's a matter of attitude. The heavy bag of his father was very enjoyable to carry, but the simple small tasks, but there was no love and there was no affection. It is very difficult. So how we perceive, it is not exactly the situation, but the attitude towards it which determines whether we are happy or sad. Like a man was going on the street, something hit him on his head. Kisi ne patthar pheka ya kuch aisa. It hurt him so badly and he started saying, Ari, kaun hai wo? Kisne patthar pheka? And then he sees down and he finds that it is a diamond. It was a diamond. And then he looks up and he says, Kisne pheka aur pheko bhaiya? Immediately his attitude changed. The pain was the same, but when he perceived what it was, the pain turned into happiness. He wants more pain. Huh? Hit me more. Let there be more pain because I want it. I want more diamonds. So similarly, when a person learns to see everything as the arrangement of God, when he learns to become selfless, because karma is basically selfishness. What is karma kant? Me. But when that me is replaced with K or Krishna, with service. And in fact, what is the law of karma? If you analyze carefully, what is karma? What you do, you get. What is the purpose of this? Why has this been arranged? It has been arranged so that we learn to see no difference between us and others. The law of karma teaches us that if you harm others, that harm will come back to you. So therefore, what will you do? You will treat others as you would want to be treated. What do you want? Karmically speaking, generally, what do people want? People want respect. People want love. People want others to appreciate what they are doing. What is their contribution? They want friendship. So then, when you understand how the law of karma works, you will set out to give. You have to give before you start expecting. And you can only give when you understand how it feels. Because now you know how it feels that when someone is harsh to you, or someone is not respectable to you, then you will think that, oh, I know how it feels. And that's why in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, in the 32nd verse, Atma upamyena sarvatra samam pashyati yorjuna sukham vayadi va dukham sa yogi paramo mataha. Atma upamyena sarvatra. When in comparison to oneself, when one sees others, Atma upamyena sarvatra samam pashyati yorjuna. So what is yoga? Yoga means to see this samatvam. Equality. Samatvam yoga uchyate. And therefore a devotee does not just mean that, okay, we are wearing kanthi mala, tilak, dhoti kurta, sadi, salwar kameez. That does not mean. Real devotee means this quality should be there in him. Samatvam yoga uchyate. A real devotee means that he feels for others, he feels upset when others are upset. Nowadays, now we are upset for ourselves, but now we have to feel upset when others are upset. That's why they say, na, ke, dekhne ke liye TV set hai, baithne ke liye sofa set hai, sunne ke liye radio set hai, pehenne ke liye diamond set hai, phir bhi dimag upset hai. So, right now also we are upset, but now our upset is because of selfishness. We are caught up in selfish miseries. So, what the law of karma intends to teach us is to give before we start expecting. Whatever we want, that we start giving. You know, there's a nice story in this regard that there was this man who met with a plane crash. He was stranded in a desert. There was absolutely no water there. He exhausted whatever little stock he had. Walking. Absolutely quenched. Thirsty. Parched completely. And somewhere far he sees a small hut. He couldn't believe his eyes. He thought he was seeing a mirage or something. He walks towards it finally to find that it was a reality. That it was actually a hut. He enters inside and with no expectations, you know, but he found that there was a pump inside. Pump. Will it work? He tried pumping it. It was a kind of a bore well, a small pump, and he was trying to do it and nothing was happening, and he becomes completely despondent. He gives up all hope of living and literally collapses, and to his utter surprise, you know, in the corner of that hut, he sees one bottle with water inside. It was corked. And he thought, this will save me. Takes the bottle and he was about to drink it. When he sees one label on that bottle, says that, use this to prime the pump. And he was thinking, abhi kya karun? I am so thirsty. Now he is not sure if he will use it to prime the pump, whether the pump will work. And he is thirsty. So, and if he drinks it, but he will be saved for one day, at least it will help him out. So he just puts his faith. He decides, no, let me see what happens. And he goes that, you know, length and takes the bottle and pours that water into the, primes that pump, and he again works that pump, and from that ground a lot of water comes out, and more water than what he expected, and there was abundance of water. He drinks a lot of water, he bathes in that water, and when he was finished drinking and everything, he remembered that he should actually fill that bottle up. Because somebody helped him fill that bottle up for him. So he filled that bottle, put a cork and put a note on it saying that, you know, this works. Believe this works. Use it to prime the pump. It actually works. Puts the label. So basically this pastime has been, the story has been said with the purpose of showing that how karma works. We have to start giving before we start expecting. And, you know, basically we shouldn't be expecting. That is spiritual life. When we give with expectations, it's still material. And a devotee should have absolutely no expectations. But even if one does have expectations, one should know, according to the scripture, according to the law of karma, that what we give will certainly be rewarded. Even if there is no one watching, I mean, he was alone there, he put the water inside the pump, primed it. There was no one watching, but still it worked. Similarly, even if there is nobody in your estimation watching, you must have done some small service, some small appreciation, something in your mind positive for somebody. But it will never go waste. It will always come back. Yes, just as you plant a fruit tree, you know how the process works. You know that plant will come, tree will grow, fruit will be there, but you do not know when. It comes at its own time. So also the law of karma works in that fashion. Yes? Works in that fashion. That you keep doing good without any expectations, with that faith that one day it will come back. But you don't have to really be worried about that. Continue serving the Lord, as it is explained here. Taking shelter of the Lord, one can cut the cycle of this birth and death. Because basically it is this law of karma which is binding us to this material world. Yes, kabhi upar to kabhi niche. And therefore, to get out, it is explained. So, which carries one far away from one's real home in the kingdom of God. So, basically, these selfish activities are what is taking this living entity away from the Lord. And Krishna conscious activity is what is recommended, beginning with chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that is a process. Learn to serve selflessly. Because in any case we have to leave back everything. If voluntarily. That's why they said in the Niti Shastras that those who are selfish are actually very magnanimous, and those who are selfless are very conjugal. Why? Because those who are selfish, they don't give anything to others. What happens? They die and they take nothing with them. No punya. That means they are so detached. And those who are selfless, they are going to get huge rewards in the next life. So actually they are not so detached. Just in a negative sense it is said. So therefore, the acts of selflessness in Krishna consciousness take us greater, as it is explained, that to be in the mode of goodness is the most favorable situation in practicing Krishna consciousness. It's like an airport. If you have to catch a flight, Vaikuntha Airlines, any flight you have to take, then you have to go to the airport. You can't take the flights from your terrace of your building. You have to go to the airport. But at the same time, if you are in the airport and if you sleep or if you are late, you will miss the flight. So to be in the mode of goodness is the most favorable situation for practicing Krishna consciousness. However, if we are in the mode of goodness, but if we are not practicing Krishna consciousness, then that is also not good. And many times we have seen that those people who are in the mode of ignorance sometimes takes up to Krishna consciousness. And those who are pious don't listen. They feel that they are already having everything. Like you see in the Bhagavatam, examples like Pingala. She was a prostitute. But she became Krishna conscious just with that change in the consciousness. Well, many times pious people can't see the true path. Somebody asked this question to some sadhu, and he said, yeah, it happens sometimes. Why is it like this? Why sometimes sinful people become Krishna conscious and pious people don't? So he gave a nice example that there was a sadhu. And he told his people that if you want to become free from all the sins that you have done, then equivalent to all the sins that you have done, you bring stones, round stones. So everyone brought small stones. And so all the people who had not done big sins, they brought small stones. And they said, Maharaj, we have done so many sins, we do not remember how many sins we have done. So therefore, we could not really understand how many stones to bring. But they brought small stones like that. The one man brought a huge stone. And he said, Are, what happened? Why you brought such a big stone? He says, because I am Mahapapi. I've done such a big sin, so that's what I brought. So it was easier for him to bring that stone. But it's difficult for those people who have been doing small sins, you know, to bring so many stones like that. So therefore, many times sinful people, because they are so regretful of their life, as a result of that, out of fear or out of whatever reason, somehow or another, they take up to Krishna consciousness. And we can see examples of Srila Prabhupada going to the West. Preaching in India was not successful, but going to the West. And they immediately took up, okay, oh, I've been doing this. Krishna consciousness is here to save me. But the pious Indians were thinking that, okay, we already know this. So therefore, bhakti is so independent that we do not know where she will appear. May appear in a pious family, impious family, anywhere, east, west. However, we have to somehow or another get the mercy of some pure devotee. And somehow or another we have to make ourselves fortunate. Yeah, to take up to Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.